You're listening to the Real Witches of the End Times, transmissions straight from the underworld. Doom witches, blood wizards, underworld accountants, and cloud people. Welcome back to the Real Witches of the End Times podcast. I'm your host, Manna Aylin. Today, we have returning guest, Amanda Paulson, formerly known as a paranormal investigator. And now I don't know what they call themselves. And that's something that I wanted to talk about today, how identity is limiting and how both of us seem to just don't like being called anything ever anymore.
Hi. I'm nothing. No. Hello, thank you for having me on again. I'm happy to be here.
I'm really happy to have you. We're just, you know, we're friends too. So it's fun to talk. It's fun to chat. We've been shooting the shit for a little while. And we're finally getting around to actually recording. We're definitely all warmed up.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So for those of you who are not sure who Amanda Paulson is, I had her on the show maybe this time last year or a little bit earlier, maybe like more like May or June of 2021 for the first time. And then when I had Patreon, you did a follow-up interview there. But we talked a lot about your approach to the paranormal phenomenon, high strangeness, and I've kind of seen you move much more towards research and moving away from like this prescriptive idea of what a paranormal experience is. I didn't expect you to decide recently to no longer call yourself a paranormal investigator. I didn't expect that, but I'm also not surprised just based off of what I do know about you and what you do care about and your approach to things. You don't expect a particular result, and that's something that you don't see as much of on in terms of people who are more well known in the community. So I think that's pretty cool. That's my two cents.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Yeah, actually I told nobody before I decided to it wasn't a big deal, the announcement, but I was like, hey, I removed paranormal investigator from all my bios. And I didn't even tell the closest of friends that I have that I was going to do that. But I had actually been thinking about it for a while. I am still paranormal investigating. Like I will still go on paranormal investigations. That's still very much a part of what I'm doing. But the term felt limiting. And I felt like that's only half, if not less, of what I'm actually doing in the paranormal realm of things, and more recently kind of leaning towards a focus on parapsychology and the occult. And so I'm just in this process of trying to redefine myself, or deciding if I have to define myself at all, which I know a lot of people can relate to, but I've actually never like been through that kind of transformative journey myself in any aspect of my life. I don't even know. There's so much to say that I feel like I'm at a loss for words. But yeah, I'm still paranormal investigating, but I just would like to be called something else. So for now, I think in my bios, I put researcher of the uncanny, which sounds ridiculous. I sound like a wizard, but that's okay. I'll figure it out as I go. I just figured I'm researching and trying to experience all sorts of phenomena right now that isn't just ghostly. It's not just traditional hauntings or going into abandoned buildings and trying to find a spirit. That's kind of where I'm at with that journey.
Well, I want to come back to like how you said that you hadn't even mentioned really to anyone you were really close to that you were deciding to remove that from your bio. Can you talk a little more about like why that is such a weight for you, or why you felt, why is this so heavy, I guess, to do such a thing?
Wow. I'm like literally thinking through this as I'm answering this question, because I actually haven't talked to anyone about it yet at all.
Take your time. I do.
I'm like processing this right now in the moment, but I mean, social media has a huge play in it, in the persona that I've created for myself on social media. And there's a level of uncertainty and almost like fear of rejecting something that brought me to a certain place on social media, to a certain level of like, it brought me my audience on social media. It introduced me to the people that I know now. And like it, me calling myself a paranormal investigator and putting that forward on social media brought about all of the things that I have now. So to, like, in a way reject that felt and feels like a little bit wrong, or like there's some nerves there about like taking that element of myself away, because we tend to define ourselves by these like titles and things as life does, you know, like, and I didn't tell any of my friends that I had been considering moving away from that, just because I don't know if anyone else relates to this or if you relate to this, but there are some things that you just don't want to present to friends or family or your partner or whatever. Like, you don't want, you want to make the decision for yourself. Like, I decided, like, I don't really want any input on this decision, if that makes sense. That sounds harsh, but I need to make this decision for myself. And, like, I didn't identify with the community that the paranormal investigator term is associating me with right now online. And I didn't want to tell any of my friends, because I just wanted to make the decision entirely for myself and not have them influence or sway me one way or the other. And then also to add an element of weird to that, I also just the day, I think it was 1 or 2 days prior to saying on social media, hey, I removed this from all of my bios, I got stung by a wasp in the face. And I don't know if you saw that online either.
I didn't
shut up about it. I was like, hey, everyone, this happened.
I did see that, and I did not check in on you about it.
That's okay. I was clearly fine because I was on social media about it, so I would not expect anyone to say anything. But I got stung near the left, actually really close to the left eye, like right underneath my eye, by a wasp. Randomly, I was just walking out of my house, like literally not doing anything to irritate it or instigate a wasp attack, but it just stung me in the face. And then like a day or two later, I was like, I'm gonna do this. And I felt this push that I had been sitting on it for a while, but then I just felt like I'm ready, it's time. I had no hesitation or anything about saying it online. I happen to like the idea that maybe painful things or shocking things, I think sometimes like knock us out of place or knock us back into place. Like it kind of tends to shake us into whatever the right path is. And it felt like getting stung by a wasp in the face kind of like shook me into place and was like, okay, it's time to do that. Like, I don't know why, but it just felt like it had some sort of influence on it. So there's also that like element of weirdness where I feel like I was affected by the wasp venom. Like it was just like, it's time, who cares? I had a similar thing happen to me on a much larger scale in January of this year when I was caught up in a drive-by shooting and was almost shot. And
that I did check on Amanda when I saw it, just so everyone knows.
But they, again, on a much larger scale, but I had a pretty dark, not fun winter as it was. And then that happened. And I had also been taking a really large break from social media at that time, break from paranormal investigating. And then that happened and it kind of, again, shook me back into place. And then I was able to kind of get back on track with a lot of things, with a lot of spiritual things and public stuff, just everything. I feel very much changed since January, especially. But now I've also been stung by a wasp in the face. So
I've been bit by a wasp on my eyelid before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my whole eye swelled up.
Yeah. Oh, are you allergic?
Yeah, I'm allergic to like everything. So unsurprisingly, my entire face swelled.
I was stung so close to the eye that I just didn't know what was going to happen. And I couldn't remember ever being stung by a wasp before. And I mean, as you know, the pain was like excruciating. I was like, oh my God, I've never felt a pain like that on my face before. So I went into the urgent care and they were like, well, you're clearly not allergic or else you would know. But now like your whole face would be swollen. I was like, thank God. But it did look like I got punched in the eye for like a few days, but
crazy. Did it ever swell up and like affect your ability to open your eye at all?
Not that bad because I'm not allergic. So No, thank God. But it just swelled, it swelled on the bottom part of my eye. So it looked all like I had a huge eye bag. And it was like sagging. But what it did do, and I don't know if this happened to you. Sorry, this is a conversation about wasp stings for a second. But while my body, I assume, was working through and like killing this venom or whatever, like it was like starting to heal, my entire left side of my face got really tingly and almost kind of numb. Like it reminded me of like being at the dentist. And I was like, this is crazy. Like I could feel It felt like I could feel the venom working its way out of my body and out of my face. It was so weird. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, I got bit by a wasp when I was a kid, so I don't remember. I remember crawling up into an attic, getting comic books out of an attic, crawling down, sitting outside, and then getting bit by a wasp in the face. Unprovoked.
Yeah, what is up with that?
I don't know. I don't know. This one, like, we call them, like, meat eaters. I don't know what you call them where you're from, but this was the type of wasp I got bit by was one of those that if you're barbecuing outside, they'll, like, swarm your tri-tip type of thing. So it must have looked extra tasty.
I've recently learned that there's different types of wasps in different regions. Well, duh, but, like, I learned what kind of wasps are in my region, and I boiled it down to either it being a yellow jacket or a paper wasp, and just based on the symptoms, I'm assuming it's a paper wasp, but...
Mm. Yeah, the yellow jackets are the meat eaters or meat.
Oh, okay. Bees.
I think meat bee must be a colloquial family thing that we just have called them for a long time. you know, and they're also like they're decomposers. Like they're a crucial part of the ecosystem in that way. But then it's like, how did you mistake me for like a dead piece of meat?
Yeah. Yeah. This one felt like it like had like it like wanted to fight me. Like it just flew up to my face and slapped me on the face. Like it like came up and like immediately stung me, and I was like, holy crap, like, oh, what is going on? Again, I ended up okay. It was fine. I didn't have an allergic reaction or anything, and it was a good lesson in discerning, you know, like trying to stay grounded in reality and not being like everything is a sign all the time, but also like deciding that it wasn't an omen or like it wasn't a bad sign. It wasn't, I don't think anyone sent the wasp my way. And then later I was like, you know, I think that was actually a good thing in some weird way. And then I posted that online and somebody was like, you need help. And I was like, come on.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm fine. I'm just allowing myself to, you know, sort of think it's like not all bad, you know?
I like how you become unattached from a negative experience and someone is like, something's wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah. Like, don't search for meaning in everything. Like, you need help.
Well, that's something that I think is so funny because I frequently will see that from, I don't know. It's people who like post up on social media and they have an audience, and it doesn't necessarily mean like you're an influencer, but just you. People at some point will just start to post things as you and I both, like, I'm sure do. Mm-hmm. But there are sometimes people will say stuff like, just a reminder, like, not everything's a sign. And then like not long after something, I'll be like, everything is a part of God and like worship divinity. And I'm like, okay, well, which one is it, my guy? Like, I thought that we said not everything was a sign and not everything has meaning, but now we're saying everything is inherently divine. And I guess you could make an argument that something being divine doesn't mean that it has meaning, but meaning is highly personal. So like you can on one hand be like, this wasp was having a frustrating day because some big ass human was coming around its house, and then it just did what wasps do, which is defend its home. That there's no like inherent esoteric meaning in that, but there's also, I don't think, anything wrong with deriving some sense of meaning from the experience, so long as you have acknowledged that you have the experience. And I don't know, it's just a personal thing. And that's something that I've noticed too, is like you're talking about not telling people where you're going through like a crucial, more vulnerable stage of formulating your own thoughts and reasons for a highly personal decision. And I feel the same way when people will share their symbolism. It's like sometimes everyone has something to say about whether or not that's true or not, but all of it is also in such a cultural context. I was just talking to some friends last night, actually, like there's correspondences for playing card divination, which are different than tarot. Not completely different, but like they're not the same either. But I, just in my own family, who do not divine from cards on their own, they play cards though, and there's like a very specific family meaning to a red three that is something that is going to have meaning to me that someone cannot argue out of my life, if they tried to, because I grew up with it having this specific very negative connotation. At the same time though, it's like that three doesn't mean that at all. It means something different to other people and based off of its interactions. But I just don't see the point in people saying not everything has meaning and then turning around and saying everything has meaning. I don't know. It's strange. That was my rant.
Dude, I am with you. I'm right there with you. That's something I've been really into lately. I'm very much a layman, though, when it comes to occult symbolism or really just symbology in general. And I've really been getting into the concept of the universe or whatever will present you with symbology that you will understand as my understanding gets deeper. Like I have a wider understanding of what certain things mean and what certain animal symbols or whatever. I feel like, again, universe, spirit, whatever, shows me different things as I start to understand it differently. Like some people are really into like numbers and stuff like that. And I've just started to learn what I specifically derive meaning out of for me, instead of just reading online what I should be deriving meaning out of. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and online is most of the time it's what someone heard that someone said. It's like so far down the grapevine that it's hard to find the source material. And then ultimately all source material is individual experience at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and coming from my paranormal investigating background, it's incredibly hard to decide that I'm going to not just take everyone else's word for it. And maybe actually there's probably a lot of other people in a lot of other communities that also struggle with that. But there does seem to be this idea that there are very distinct rules and systems of belief and stuff that are a big part of the paranormal investigating field or community. And it has been a journey to try to work my way through that and like develop my own way of navigating that world. So it all kind of comes back together.
When you announced this, did anyone have any pushback online, or how does this receive? Because you did it as a post where there could be like comments, and then people always have something to say in stories. So
yeah. I did get some private messages, not very many, but just some private messages that were really simple. Like, what are you calling yourself now then? And really, I'm in a place right now too, where thankfully I have a lot of really great people in my life online. Not as many, I don't want to call them randoms, but like, I feel like I've developed like a real community for myself. So I feel like, hopefully I'm right in this. I'm like stopping myself from saying, I'm like, hopefully this is correct. But I feel like a lot of people that follow me online have trust in me and trust that what I do makes sense or is right for myself. I feel like people were just like, okay. And maybe a year ago they wouldn't have been. Like, maybe there would have been more people around me, or the people around me wouldn't have known me as well and thought, you know, did you really think this through, or what do you mean, or is something wrong? And now I only got a couple messages that were really like, what do you mean, or what are you going to call yourself now? Most everyone else was just like, oh, okay. Like, my good friends were like, oh, this is interesting. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. That's something that I've been really blessed with throughout my entire life, is that people have always trusted that I know what I'm doing, whether it be with whatever I'm doing or like with myself. A lot of people have always just been like, you must know what you're doing. You're fine. Sometimes that's not great when I'm having a harder time and I'm like, I'm not okay. I don't know what I'm doing. People trust that I know myself well enough, I guess. I exude that online, which is cool.
Well, it seems like more than anything, this is just you expanding beyond a label as opposed to tearing it apart or something. It's like you're saying, I do these things, but I'm not limiting myself to this. And that's the reason for no longer just calling yourself that. Like, I don't get it when people are like, in general, I'm like, well, if you're not this thing anymore. And that goes with anything. Like, if someone quits a job, it's like, well, then what are you going to do now? I'm myself. Like, I don't have to go from point A to point B with no in between. Like, if you come out of something, you have to recalibrate before you decide something else, for the most part. Or you don't have to. Like, if the reason you're no longer calling yourself something is because it was limiting, well, the second you call yourself something else, you are then limiting yourself again. So you're going to have the same process at some point anyway. And so I call myself things for mostly communicative reasons, and have come to accept that. Like, I feel that way pretty strongly just about, again, this is not everyone's experience and stuff, but like when it, even like for myself, when it comes to pronouns, like they're, I really, it does not matter to me what pronouns people use in reference to me. And that's me individually though. If I'm going to go through all the trouble of no longer limiting myself to have any expectation or follow any roles, I don't want to go from one role to another is what ultimately I'm trying to say.
In making this very small, somewhat insignificant change for myself from calling myself a paranormal investigator to being like, you know what, I'm going to just be nothing for now or whatever or everything. I don't know. It did make me think of pronouns. It was kind of eye-opening for me in a bigger sense, weirdly enough. But I don't want to compare paranormal investigating to gender identity or anything like that, because it's not the same. But it did provide me some really valuable insight to others' experiences in life, which almost like solidified the choice too. I was like, wow, if I'm like having a realization about a much larger humanity thing, then this must be the right decision, or else it would feel, it wouldn't feel so right and so eye-opening if it wasn't the right decision to make, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really great point. I think you said that really well. I don't think we need to edit that out.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. It almost, people feel like that they, to belong, you have to find like a specific label. Like I see it a lot with, you know, people like, well, am I a witch? Well, if I'm not a witch, like what am I? It's like, well, there's no inherent need to label yourself to do anything like that. Like, even if you are someone who would potentially fit what this cultural idea of a witch would be, which again, isn't even a universal idea at all. There's no point. Like, if you are that thing, there's no need to like ever actually call yourself something. The need comes from like this communicative purpose, which is interesting because I, in terms of like hashtags, even online, I'll tag things like paranormal investigation or hashtag like haunted, because there's so much more interest from more people in those tags than there are in like high strangeness or fairy seership. You know, like those are smaller tags, and if you look at the realization of like, I'm trying to actually build something, there comes like funny little maybe not sacrifices, but just like acceptance of the confidence that you know yourself to know, I am, you know, tagging something as this, I know this isn't what I mean, but maybe, just maybe, someone else who is having a much more less conventional experience or is breaking outside of the idea of what a term can be is also confused and lost and only knows to look in these tags, and maybe they'll find what I'm doing that way.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned hashtags, because I was going to mention that too. Like, I'm still using the paranormal investigator hashtag, but you explained it beautifully. Exactly it. And I was thinking too, like, social media does complicate these kind of things, because I say this from a place of like respect and like am in support of the opportunities that social media gives us now. Like, it's a viable career choice now, like to be a content creator or to exist online in some way or form. And so if you want to utilize social media for opportunity or for growth or for networking or whatever, it does kind of complicate things in terms of needing to label yourself or like niche yourself down, which is something that I have been not struggling with, but just thinking a lot about in the last few days, like how that plays into my persona, or like not character, but how that plays into how I am projecting myself on social media. Yeah, that's probably the biggest part. I mean, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, it's almost like, duh. Like, that's the biggest thing about me moving out of the paranormal investigator title. It's not that people here in town, like, nobody in my real life, like, and not maybe my boss or, like, my neighbor or whatever cares what I call myself. But when I want to be working in and influencing the paranormal field and in this like occult realm, it's like how I present myself online is important, but ultimately, that is exactly why I needed to remove Paranormal Investigator from what people were seeing first, because it was just pigeonholing me into like this community that I just, nothing wrong with it. I just no longer feel like I totally identify with. I just feel very, very liminal, I guess you could say. But, yeah.
I think you said that really well too, because it's interesting how I think some of the content that is the most impactful for people does have that level of niche and personability. Like there's stuff now, like I don't have TikTok, but there's stuff that like I just didn't know other people did. Like I see nurse TikTok. It's like, oh, like having a dance party with your dementia patient or whatever. It's just like stuff like that, that I, these windows into everyday people's lives that again is the most impactful. But then when you're trying to build something, there's that push and pull of I want to cast a wide net, but then I want the people to stick around to like actually like what I'm doing, and not because I'm contributing to some sense of pageantry or screaming at ghosts, for the example most people probably know, that gets associated with like paranormal investigators and things. But then again, it's like some people do, to make a living and all of that, they do have that level of pageantry. They do have all of those things. And on a more complicated level, it's like, is there really anything wrong with that if some people just genuinely like those things? And the answer is probably no, not really. But it's just, it's not you. And it's, and that word, like getting sucked into like being a different type of person than you are.
Yeah. And it is really important for people to know that, like, feeling like something, as you said, is sucking me into being a different person than I feel I am, does not mean that person is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, there is, especially in the paranormal, like there is no really right or wrong. I mean, really, this is a larger conversation. I won't let myself go down the rabbit hole, but really there is no right or wrong. There is what I like. I mean, my morals are not across the board. Like, and people talk about like integrity in the paranormal field, and it's like, well, depends on each person. It's just like, it's such a weird, real to us, but not real thing. Like, there's no rules. There's no right or wrong. There's no rules in the paranormal. We don't know anything definitively, no matter how much some people think they do. So anyway, if somebody wants to be the embodiment of a paranormal investigator, and I am saying I don't want to be that, that doesn't mean I think that that's wrong or bad by any means. And I also respect the hustle. I always say that I respect everyone online who is like working their butts off. I was just thinking about that. I'm like going in a bunch of different directions right now, but I was just thinking about this today. Actually, I was like, for some reason, kind of clocking in my head, like, how many people like don't like me that I know of? I don't know why. It was a very toxic thought. And I was like, you know, okay, I got probably one or two handfuls of people who don't like me that I know of. A good handful of people that I know don't like me. But like, I still, and I might not like care for what they're doing or have gotten along with them in the past, but I genuinely still want them to succeed. If they're hustling out there, because there are some people that I haven't gotten along with over the years, being on social media, it's unavoidable. I see some of those people every now and then, and they're working their butts off and they're ghost hunting the shit out of places. And it's like, do your thing, man. Like, I'm happy for you, you know, like I genuinely want them all to succeed in whatever it is that they're doing. In that regard, the people that I'm talking about that are like in the paranormal, like they might be doing things a way I wouldn't. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that, but that doesn't make what they're doing wrong. Like, I don't know. Did any of that make sense? I just went on a big tangent.
I like that you shared those thoughts, because I feel like I've seen anyway, it's like you have the very like Paranormal Activity, green camera, like night vision goggles idea of a paranormal investigator, which is what I think most people who have no experience in this world like would think of, right? They would think of, mm-hmm. of that image. And then you have a lot of people who come to this point like from different directions. Like for myself, like I wasn't really interested in ghost hunting per se, but I just had strange experiences that were never really about ghosts. but I still, and you know, I have that interest still, and so I'm coming from a more experiential place as opposed to looking for something. And mm-hmm. then like you have just like multiple different points of origin and, you know, expectation, but one is just a lot more popular than another one. But again, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's I also see sometimes, you know, people will just completely deject or not want to associate themselves remotely with the more of like the ghost hunters era type of ghost hunting. And that's not mm-hmm. my thing either, but it's just a lot of energy to like say that something like that is just incorrect as well. I don't have yeah. fully formed thoughts on that. I don't really know where I'm going with this either.
It's a weird thing to deconstruct. It's any of these topics that revolve around like ghost hunting become hard to articulate, I feel like. But I'm like very newly in this place of acceptance, and maybe it's like almost getting shot back in January. I don't know. Like maybe I had thought I went through like, I don't really know my thoughts on like awakenings. I don't know anything about that. I thought I'd been there, done that a couple years ago, but I'm pretty sure I've been through another one, because like a year and a half ago, I probably would have said or have said, you know, I don't think that yelling at ghosts and hunting them is right. Like I would have said that. And now I'm finding myself choosing my words more carefully and saying, you know, I don't really have a place of, I don't have any place to say that that's right or wrong. Like I'm also in a place right now too, where I'm starting to question like good and bad in a larger sense, like any set of universal morals, or like that there is right and wrong in the universe. Like this is such a bigger conversation. Actually, I'm going to stop it there. But I've been on a trip lately, like thinking, you know, like, is there really right or wrong? But also I come from not being like, I'm not a Christian, or I don't really have a mm-hmm. Catholic background or anything. So I've just been questioning a lot. I am very liminal right now. It'll be interesting to see what I would say on these topics in another year, you know?
Yeah. And historically, it's funny that you bring that up, because historically, and this is something across like just human history, is this idea of like a personal code. That's something that is going to be different for individual people, and then you'll get some similarities within if you look at different like military ranks or whatever, or like samurai, or just there's different examples of it, but that's a whole other thing. But it's this idea, it's less this idea of morality and right and wrong is less so to protect other people and more so about protecting yourself and having something to come back to, which sounds bizarre. And you know, maybe people could argue or explain that another way, but there's like a personal level to doing something that is defined culturally like as wrong or like incorrect. And it's harder to hold yourself to something like that. Like it's if someone else says it's bad to harm someone else, that's different than if you like truly feel within your bones that it is not something that you want to do to harm someone else. Like there's a level of personability to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that you do get that code over time, personally developed, that I don't know, it's just not to have rigidity to it. Because there's always exceptions. That's yeah. the thing too. Like I think people will even talk about that with cursing. If that's something that you do, but I mean, that's like a pretty, I think that always comes up like every couple months. It's just like a bigger topic online again in different communities that practice varying degrees of craft or magic. And everyone ultimately comes back to like, well, if you want to curse someone, that's your decision. It says more about you than the other person. And I don't mean that in a backhanded way at all. It's just like, it's how would you like to go about it? What are your reasons for it? It's like, there's, if you're cursing someone who like has physically harmed you in some way and is like loose, essentially, like that's your decision to handle that in some type of way. I don't know. Now I feel like I'm opening up.
I know, right? Well, it's funny you mentioned the curse. Yeah, like curse/hexing conversation. That is very, very, it's almost one in the same of what I'm talking about with the wrongness of ghost hunting bros or whatever. You know, like it's like that community's own. It's different, but the same. Yeah. We open up a too big of a topic. Whoopsie.
So I'll reel this back in to say here that we, I think, are both people who are very open to learn, I guess, mm-hmm. To learn and to experience things and to decide for ourselves. And especially like given the state of the world and everything, like there is no like one correct answer for everyone. And even like, I'll bring it back to the body sometimes. Like even if you go this idea of a superfood, this is bizarre. I'm sorry I'm bringing this up as an example, but people will talk all the time about, oh, this is healthy for you. This is a healthy food. This is a superfood. But everyone's like genetic makeup and microbiome and what will be bioavailable to them to absorb as nutrients into their body is not the same. Mm-hmm. So for one person, spinach is a wonderful food to eat. And then for someone who has like an iron absorption problem, it could actually be really difficult because while spinach is full of iron, it also has volatile oils in it that at the same time block the absorption of iron and some other nutrients. So if that's something that you're like actively trying to absorb and you're already iron deficient, so there's something about iron absorption that is having trouble with your body, you're probably not going to want to eat something that contributes to absorption problems with that. Whereas if that's not a concern for you, there's plenty of other like great things about spinach. It's not bad because it affects people in that way. Like, you know, plants are like dual faceted. Like no one is like, oh, nuts are all bad because some people eat like a one crumb and will literally die from it. But there's also like health benefits to them. Like no one decides one or the other is perfectly mm-hmm. good or bad. Whereas the individual experience, like for some people, they're like, I fucking hate this food, or it's like it causes lots of fear in my life, or XYZ. Yeah, it's a weird example, but I think I always bring it back to stuff like that a lot.
That totally makes sense, and it just helped me kind of better form what I think I was trying to say in the first place. But like, I have been reframing my thoughts around that my right and wrong is going to be everyone else's right, or that it should be everyone else's right or wrong. Like I think I dealt for a while with kind of riding like a moral high horse, and I'm more kind of realizing that exactly what you just said, basically. So like, while I'm very passionate about some things, I do find objectively, like, or I not objectively thought, I'm very passionate. Like I am an activist for certain things, like political things or whatever, like that I would like very much stand up for. So it's not like I don't think there are any right or wrongs ever at all for me personally, but it's like I've just for a long time I rode a very a moral high horse that like I'm just like now getting off of, and I'm like, okay. And very specifically related to the occult and the paranormal, definitely more related to that than like other life things. But as you said, we're people who are just really open to learn, and I'm just in a place of learning. And it's interesting. I mean, I'm 32 years old. And that's not old, but I mean, I thought I was old enough to have really figured a lot of stuff out. And as I've dug deeper into these, I don't even know what to call it as a whole. Is it the occult as a whole?
Every time I ever say like insert blank community name here, I'm like, this is wrong. This is just, again, it's just words that try to communicate a specific niche that is just inherently imprecise.
Yeah. So like weird shit, like all this like woo-woo stuff. As I've been digging deeper and deeper into all of this weird stuff, like paranormal, occult, metaphysical, parapsychological, I don't know, all of this stuff, as I dig deeper and as I keep searching and keep journeying through this, I learn more and more and more. And I start realizing, as many others more wise than myself have said, like, anyone who says that they have the answers doesn't know what they're talking about at all. More and more, I feel like it's almost the purpose of it all is to just constantly humble myself and to put myself in a student position. Like even as I gain expertise or I gain experience that I can like help teach others or, you know, do something with it, my experience or whatever, it's like I'm still a student of the universe. Like I'm still a student of the cosmos. I don't really have any answers. And although I felt like turned 30 and like I just had so much figured out, since I've decided to take this journey into the weirder side of life, I've learned that I have much more to learn, and I'll probably be learning for the rest of my life. So there we go. That was a coaching thought.
That's a great place to be, because I think you'll get so much more out of life that way if you remain open to it. Because I think if you go into things looking for a specific answer, one, you're going to have shitty evidence, just factually. Like, your argument's going to be absolute bullshit. You're going to have more problems with people in general, like, objecting if you're just trying to prove a point that you've decided is true. But if you're just along for the ride and just experiencing things and being honest with what you feel like you are experiencing through the lens that you are, which is unique to you, I think that it's just a more enriching way to experience what is truly just actually mundane, you know? Like, we make it weird because that's culturally what it is, and we are, like, socialized to remove ourselves from all of this when it's just is truly just happening in real time, and we can't experience it, and we don't have to draw any conclusions from it if we don't want to.
Yes. Wow. I'm going to listen back to this later. I'm going to listen to this. I don't normally listen to myself talk, but I'm going to listen to this for your own advice or articulation of things.
Well, I just need everyone to know that I am just covered in sweat right now. And so I just must be accessing some level of higher consciousness. Or, you know, I'm just, my brain is full of words that I've heard, and it's in there in the brain soup. And now I'm sweating. It's also coming out.
I'm just picturing us just, like, sweating so much, but, like lifting out of our bodies and just, like, together, like, joining up. It's like
higher. Isn't that what people do in, like, sweat lodges?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, but we're both on this, like, just on our computers, but, like, oh, and we're like, whoa, how did we get here? Like, where am I? What am I doing?
I do stuff, like, the hard way all of the time, and not for, like, any divine reason. I just do this to myself sometimes, where I didn't have an air conditioner last year, so I would just wake up in a puddle of my own sweat and was just like, this is just how I am. Like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be this way. I'm gonna, like, hallucinate in the heat. And I did the same thing this year, except I live not, like, on a first floor. I live in, like, the hottest part you could possibly be in the house. Like, my office is, like, on the top floor and, like, in the roof. I decided not to get an air conditioning for so long, up until, like, a heat wave hit. I finally bought one. And then now it's like, oh, I'm, like, 5 degrees cooler than I was before, because it's still not very cool in here. But, you know, I've had this, like, experience of, like, suffering I put myself through, you know, and it's not that meaningful at all. But I have these esoteric talks while I'm sweating, so that must be the purpose, because I had to turn it off to record.
There's something to it. Yeah. It's weird you say that, because I'm also the same way, not necessarily with AC units. I do have an air conditioner, but you have one now too, but I do things the hard way for, like, no reason. I wonder if there's something in, like, our birth chart or something that's similar, because I'm the same way. Like, they're just dumb things. Like, it makes me think of certain things on social media, like certain types of content. Like, I'll make a video, like, the absolute hardest, most ridiculous way. Like, I don't know. I'm just, like, out here doing the absolute most for no reason, and then coming up with the same result as other people who are doing it in a much easier fashion. I feel like I'm not explaining this exactly right, but, like, I've always been like that. Like, I'm just like, oh, I just do that, like, the hard way. And it's like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that's how my life is supposed to be. Suffer, but the reward is greater. Sweat, but you come to bigger conclusions. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible that we can just decide to buy an air conditioner at all, you know? But that's a thing that exists that we can do. And I do think that to be present, like, there's a level of, like, pain and discomfort that is required. Like, that's, like, a premise of, you know, of meditation and sitting, and sitting with yourself. It's highly uncomfortable. And I really challenge people who do meditate primarily with guided meditations. Well, that's great. I'm not saying you should stop doing that. I do that all the time. To sit like with yourself in a level of discomfort, like you just learn something different. Like maybe you'll see something from a different perspective. Like if you're just uncomfortable in your own house for a while, or like maybe you, I don't know, just stuff like that, that makes me at least feel more like my body is doing something. I'm more present. I'm thinking about myself as a person. And, you know, this ability to like philosophize.
My mind is blowing right now. I feel like every time I talk to you, I'm like, do you ever like do a thing and you're like, yeah, there's an entire philosophizing theory behind that. And I'm like, oh my God, like, you're right. And now I'm like sitting here, I'm like, oh my God, I've been putting myself in these haunted places alone, absolutely pushing myself to the nth degree. And like, I'm like, oh, that was all for a reason. I'm like, whoa.
Well, you develop so much mental fortitude. And like, when we have the space to like, think about, you know, to talk about what we're doing right now, like we wouldn't do this if we were like, if there was something else going on, if there's, I don't know, crashes, like we would go in to investigate what was happening. If there's like, this is like a level of comfort that comes with being able to sit and talk about things like this. And mm-hmm. So when you are able to also put yourself in a space of not having not that not coming so easily, or having to think about other things, it's just, I think it's good for you. There's a million caveats to that. Don't come for me in my messages. Like, yeah. I know that there's, but what about blah, blah, blah? And it's like, yeah, I know. I am incapable of comprehending every person on this planet who is experiencing something that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And again, like, look at us here, like in 2022, like there was something to be learned about being uncomfortable. Ooh, which is pretty funny. That's also to me. I'm not, that is not lost on me. But then again, we're doing this in the middle of a pandemic, which is hilarious also. It's just like, the it's like, we're just so used to that. Or like,
meh. No kidding. Dude, seriously, God.
Plague talks with Amanda and Manna.
This is me like every day being like, wow, I just came to this realization, then looking at everything else and I'm like, oh, duh. I was gonna say earlier on an unrelated note, I don't know how air conditioners work, but that's a conversation for another day. As we were talking about air conditioners and you're like, it's incredible, we can buy them, I'm like, you know, how do they work? I don't know. Mystery.
Ever since I installed mine, I have wondered every single day if I did it right.
Is it leaking water all over the floor? Because that would be wrong.
No.
That would be exactly wrong.
It's one of those portable ones that has the big old, like, tube.
The tube, yeah. That's the one I had. So I got one of the, when I got one of those, so this is an interesting conversation. When I got one of those kind of air conditioners, I didn't know that, I don't know if mine's broken or what, but it has a tube out the back of it that, like, drains water. And because I got this off of Craigslist, so it might be broken, but it drains water. And I didn't know that at first. And I just turned it on and then it drained water all over my floor, which was wrong.
Oh, mine came with instructions that were like, if your model has the drain, here's how you hook it up with the tube. And I looked in the box and I was like, is this the model with the drain? And then there was no tube. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. If there's no water on your floor, then you're good. And just stick the tube out a window and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Like a life is suffering. That's like a pretty transcultural teaching. Like you, mm-hmm. you talk about it in different ways. And then people like write funny little books that like just try to modernly colloquialize teachings that are like super old, and old for a reason, not because like there's some weird exotification, which some people do, like there is like a level of something being cool and mystical because it's like old and you know, from like a different culture of origin. But like if you get past that and ultimately get over yourself when you have thoughts like that and realize, oh no, like this is a thing that like is all over the place, mm-hmm. and is called different things because it has such a level of value, and to like put yourself through these like uncomfortable situations, like, you know, just if we go across the board, like people love to talk about psychedelics all the time, and I am not one to like I've never done ayahuasca, like, you know, all that stuff. But it comes down to, like, you were extremely uncomfortable for this experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's something to be learned from that, that it, like, brings you, like, into your body, or, like, it takes you out of your body, but it brings you back in and you learn something from it. Or if you go to, like, at a sweat lodge, you know, like, you're extremely uncomfortable, and then XYZ. If you go for, like, a super long, like, meditation, like a silent meditation for, like, all day or, like, multiple days in a row. I think if you or I never learned about anything like that, that's still a conclusion that we would have come to if we were able to be with ourselves and had to experience all these difficult things. I'm sure there's so many things both of us have learned in our own lives from being extremely uncomfortable. And again, that's not advocating that people need to do XYZ, because if you have naturally had stuff happen in your life that has pushed you to already think this way or to experience something like this, then I don't think you need to seek out more pain at all. It's like what I'm trying to say. Mm. But if you are someone who's been extremely comfortable your whole life, there probably is something to making yourself uncomfortable.
That just goes back to, like, me mentioning almost getting shot and that traumatic situation.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say too, for people listening, I feel like a lot of people will say almost XYZ. Amanda seriously almost got shot. Like, that's not exaggeration at all.
Yeah, and that was, like, really traumatic, and I don't want that to have happened to me. Like, it was too close of a call, like, but also I learned so much from that. But that's different, I guess, that's different than what you're talking about, because I totally agree with you about putting yourself in a level of being uncomfortable, and that kind of thing, like a traumatic situation, is not necessarily just like, oh, but it was good because I was uncomfortable. Little
no.
But I have learned since then to find accept lessons from the things that happen to or around me, like to accept or listen to or, you know, be privy to the lessons that some things can offer, even if they were hard or painful, as a wasp sting, or, you know, as uncomfortable as being really hot and talking on this podcast. But I don't know. Big topics, man.
Yeah. We had no plan for this, by the way, everybody. I was going to say, we started at XYZ. It was like, no, we did. We got on the call and we're like, I wrote down some things because that's my job. But that being said, like, there isn't necessarily, like, a right or wrong. That doesn't mean that you should take our word for it.
Absolutely.
Either. Try to find that out yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe there is for you. Maybe Amanda and I'll change our minds. I know there's, like, probably, like, a bajillion things people are thinking. Like, I personally would say that I think, you know, people deserve rights and all of those things.
Same.
It's hard to, while we notice so many, like, small caveats to things in our own lives, it's hard to just deny that those exist for other people too. Yeah, it's a tricky one. And yeah.
Yeah. I think if there's anything, I guess, from at least me being here and talking about these things, it's just I hope that maybe me talking about thinking about these things, like talking about the act of coming to these realizations or, like, mulling over these topics, like, I just want to be transparent with people that I'm not immune to changing my mind either. Like, I exactly why, you know, like, oh, I guess I don't feel like a paranormal investigator right now entirely. It's okay to have a level of, like, fluidity in beliefs and your, I don't know, and everything, like, and especially so in the paranormal and the occult. And, like, if anyone's listening who already knows me or knows my social media, and I want you to know, like, I don't have it all figured out. Like, I'll be very honest and transparent with everyone all forever. I have no idea what's going on. Like, I'm learning it along with you guys, you know, like, I'm just to wrap that up. Like, I think I'm starting to learn that my purpose, a little bit of my purpose here, is to show that side of myself, to be like, this is the embodiment of not knowing what the fuck is going on, like, and, like, learning it and figuring it out and talking through it all of these things, all of these big topics, you know, like it's okay to not have it all figured out, especially so in the paranormal and the occult, but in life in general too. And like Mana said, like you don't have to take our word for it, but just know you're not alone in not knowing.
We're all suffering and confused together.
And hot, probably.
And sweaty.
Yeah.
Oh, and because again, it's like sweating is like, it's good for you to some degree. For some people, like some people like have like hyperhidrosis and they sweat, like their body just sweats so much and it's not good for them. Mm-hmm. But then there's people like me who I don't sweat very easily and that's not good for me either. And so it's probably actually beneficial that I've kind of turned my office into a sauna.
Yeah.
While I'm working here. So. Well, I would love to talk a little bit just about what you are interested in these days. Like what is it that does inspire you when you're doing research? Like what topics are you are looking at right now, posting about, especially with this more expansive lens that you're putting on things?
Yeah. I've been particularly interested lately in, no surprise, but like, trauma and our emotions in relation to the paranormal. I recently, somewhat recently released a theory that I have called the paranormal emotive touch point, which is the idea of communicating with phenomena based on the emotions and feelings that present themselves rather than the stories or like the human ghosts attached to locations, rather just paying attention to our own emotions that are present and then investigating the bigger phenomena from there. That's kind of been an interest of mine. It's also like interacting with and communicating with phenomena as a whole, like all of the stuff, not just ghosts, but aliens, cryptids, fairies, whatever, you know, like every single thing. Yeah, that's been a big focus for me. And also really digging into like relating how trauma affects our perception of the paranormal. And then on a lighter note, I've been really interested in researching about archetypes recently, both paranormal archetypes and like more, I don't know, folklore and stuff like that, which is a lot of stuff I don't know very much about at all. And I think people would be surprised to know or to hear that I am not very well-versed in folklore at all. So I've recently taken an interest to trying to research more folklore related to my area, which is like the Pacific Northwest, Inland Northwest. And yeah, that's kind of that. And all of that is exactly why I've shifted away from the paranormal investigator thing, which I'll do here and there, but I'm not as interested in going to famous haunted locations right now and hunting ghosts as much as I'm more interested in digging really deep into myself and helping other people dig deeper into themselves and assessing how that affects our perception of the paranormal.
And that all comes into play in the movie that you're in, the documentary Death Is With Me.
Yes. Yeah. And that is, it's weird. I filmed a movie over the last 2 years that has been in post-production. Is that what it's called? I don't know lingo.
Yeah, in post, yeah.
Yeah, this year. And it's slated to be released by December is the hope. Yeah, we did a lot of weirdness research and things based out of Lake Crescent on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State. And that's another thing, too. I'm really excited for Death Is With Me to come out and people can kind of see, literally watch some of this journey that I've been on, because it really did start also while I was filming Death Is With Me. You know, I've got to keep an element of mystery there. But yeah, Death Is With Me it's a documentary based around a true crime story from the 1930s. I kind of take people through a journey of researching and learning the story and then investigating the strange stuff thereafter. So yeah.
Well, that's all really exciting, and I would love if you could tell people where they could find you, where they could find information about Death Is With Me, all of those good things.
Yeah, it can be found on all social media platforms at Pretty FN Spooky. And Death Is With Me can be found in any of my bios, but that is at Death Is With Me and deathiswithme.com.
Amazing. Yeah, I will have all of that linked in the description box below for everyone here listening to find. And if you are new to the podcast and you don't know who I am, you can find all of my information at mothmana.com. So thank you, Amanda. Thank you so much for being here. It's always fun to chat with you. I just love hearing what you have to say. So thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.